Thanks, everyone. I am very much looking forward to speaking this morning. I hope you're looking forward to listening. I'll say a bit more about that in a moment. Just a couple of things to say as we get going. Number one, I think up on here will come a slide for Maximize. Just wanted to do a quick little reminder that the last early booking discount comes at the end of next weekend. So you've got a week to get the best deal that you can at this point for Maximize. Just want to encourage us as a whole church family. The plan is we are doing this all together. This is us with the churches that we're particularly partnering with across the northwest of England and North Wales, with a sense of a God-given mandate for making a difference together in this area. And the weekend we see is really significant in terms of sowing vision and building relationship across us as a family of churches for where we're going in the years to come. And I would love every one of us to be a part of that. It's an opportunity to go away, build relationships at a much deeper level than you get the chance to just on a Sunday. And we won't have any service here on that Sunday. We are basically throwing everything into Maximize and would really love you to be a part of it. You don't have to camp. You can camp if you want, but there's other sorts of accommodation. So hopefully it works for everyone. You don't even have to take any time off work. You can come for the weekend. And we really want that to be, and I'm praying that's going to be a very, very significant time. Martin and Margaret Ruddock are going to come and join us as guest speakers as well. They carry an amazing evangelistic heart and spirit, full of faith, and people who are very definitely led by the Spirit. And I think God will really use that time as a significant time for us. So please do put it in your diaries and get booked, and that would be fantastic. Could someone, if anyone was near the kitchen, you couldn't just give me a glass of water? Would that be possible? Please, that would be, thank you. Where's awesome? Oh, no, there we are. Fantastic. Then the other thing to say is many of you know that I have been in Africa and just came back in the middle of last week. Many of you prayed for me probably this time last week because I was struggling a little bit with, well, you don't want all the details, but and I really appreciate you praying because thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. So I really appreciate you praying because the recovery I made felt much better than I thought was possible as I felt so terrible on the Saturday. And I managed to get on and do everything that I was hoping to do, in essence. I was at a conference in Kenya, first of all, at our Salt and Light International Leaders Conference, which was just a fantastic time. And I guess I really felt like I encountered the Lord afresh. God spoke to me. I'll probably mention that a little bit as we go along this morning. And secondly, I had time with Val and Ralph Barker, and also Gordon and Sophie came to meet us. Gordon and Sophie McLeod came to meet us at Val and Ralph's in Mbarara. We had the most amazing time together, and they were all very keen to send their love. And I have to say, do you know what? It was a real privilege to see what they're doing in those contexts and the impact that they're having. Sometimes, you know, we don't realize, and yet I felt very humbled and privileged to see the impact they're having, the difference they're making in people's lives. And it's just a joy to know we've sent them and supporting them and see what they're doing. So that's all by way of introduction. And this morning, I am introducing a new series. So we finished our devoted series, and our series that we're launching today is called The Big I, Identity or Idolatry. The Big I, Identity or Idolatry. And I want to begin just by asking you this question. Who are you? And who or what are you worshipping and trusting in? Who are you? And who or what are you worshipping and trusting in? You see, when we lose sight of who he is and who we are in him, we begin to give other things a wrong place in our lives. And when we give other things a wrong place in our lives, we lose further sight of who he is and what it means to be his people. And the honest truth is, I believe that this has happened for many people sitting here today. And actually, I believe to a certain extent, it's happened for us as a church as well. That we have lost sight of who he is, of who we are in him. And we've begun to look to other things, not just to him. Who are you worshiping? Who are you trusting in? Who are we worshiping? Who are we trusting in? And I believe that this morning, lives are going to be changed forever. And certainly, I know that's what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do. I believe that we as a church are going to be changed. And that as we, both this morning and in the weeks to come, look at this series, the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us and adjust us. And I guess it just, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. What it takes for us is an amen. Yes, let it be. Holy Spirit, you can do that in us. It takes a humility and an honesty, probably. And I specifically asked young people that you were in this morning. And it may be that you thought, oh, no. Yeah, I can see from your faces, most of you did think that. The reason I asked that you were in, because we're doing this series and I wanted you to hear the heart of it as we set off. But actually far more than that. I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to a number of you this morning. And maybe for some of us, young or old, it will be the day that we decide absolutely clearly that we want Jesus to rule and reign in our lives. And we want him to be number one. And I really want to encourage you, young people, please, if I can, it's not about my words so much. If you're open, listen. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart? Because he loves you and he loves us. And he doesn't want us just to stay with a wrong view of ourselves or him or us as a church. And at the end of this morning, well, not the end of this morning, at some point of this morning, I'm going to make an appeal. And again, because I believe that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to be a responsive people who respond to him. Not to me or to anyone else, but just if we know he's speaking to us. Second question I just want to ask you. What is the most amazing thing you have ever seen in your life? Some of you have been to the States and you've seen the Grand Canyon. Some of you maybe have seen Victoria Falls. What is the most amazing thing you've ever seen? Just take 30 seconds to maybe tell your neighbor. Okay, all right. Yeah, if you didn't quite get to hear what the other one said, find out afterwards. But I want to suggest to you. You with me? I want to suggest to you that the most amazing thing that you can possibly see and that you will have ever seen is right here in this room today. In fact, they're sitting right next to you. Because do you know what? Right here, today, in this room, we have all sorts of people who are what? Made in the image of God. I look around, and what do I see? I see the image of God. In Genesis 1, it says this, then God said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish. I don't know whether to read the Bible or read the screen. It affects my glasses, which I put on or off. So that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. We are made in his image. You and I are made in his image. Nothing else in all of this world other than mankind is made in his image. All that he's created is incredible and stunning, but nothing else reflects his image like we do. And not only are we made in his image, we are then given a mandate on behalf of him to rule this world, to take responsibility for this world. But of course, what happened, if we follow through the story of the Bible, we're made in his image, but that image gets marred very quickly because sin comes into the world. And in all of the amazing creation that Adam and Eve were entrusted with, in all of the amazing goodness and permission and the love and grace and power and mercy of God at work in their lives, they made a choice which said, that's not enough. We want to become what we're not meant to be. We want to place ourselves in a wrong place. As it were, I took over. The big I, self, began to get in the way. And that is really what sin is, when we choose to do our thing rather than God's thing. I takes over. And from then on, we see, if we were to follow through the story of the Bible, God still, with his desperate to have a people that will reflect his image and his glory into the world. Even though sin has entered into the world, he calls out a people. He forms a people. Exodus 19 says, now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God calls the people of Israel to be his people, to be priests, as it were, to the world, to reflect his glory and his image. And in order that they might be his people, he gives them his law, his Ten Commandments. He says, this is what it means to be my people. And where does that start? Well, very simply, who knows what the first commandment is? Well, in essence, so I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then he says this, you shall have no other gods before me. And then number two, you shall make for yourself no image of the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship for them. worship them. So right at the start, he makes it clear. One God, you worship me. You don't create other gods. If you're going to be my people, worship me. And what happens? Moses goes up the mountain. And on behalf of God's treasured possession, God's people, he receives the two tablets of the covenant law. And while he's doing that, the people get impatient and created and worshipped a golden calf. They had quickly lost sight of who they were and who God was. And instead, created and worshipped their own empty idols. And if you follow through the whole story of the Old Testament, you will see that's an ongoing characteristic. Their response to any sense of delay, disappointment, is just, no, let's look to other things. Let's do things our way, not God's way. And guess what? That is a characteristic that can still define his church and his people today. We experience some sort of delay, some sort of disappointment. Things not quite working out exactly as we hoped they might. And guess what happens? Many of us end up then running to other things, looking for other answers, making other things our gods, trusting in other things. But of course, this is not the end of the story. And Paul puts it this way when he describes how God didn't leave us in our own mess and powerlessness. Romans 5, you see at just the right time. When we were still, what's the word that it uses? Powerless. Yeah, I suddenly wondered for a minute. When we were still powerless. All right? You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, i.e. there was nothing we could do. I was never going to sort the problem of I out. God needed to do something. Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own amazing love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died in our place. Whoever we are here today, whatever sin there's been in our lives, whatever we've ever done wrong, however much we've lived for ourselves and done our own thing, you haven't got the answer to sort that out, but he's provided the answer. God sent his one and only son. And Paul goes on to say this, and therefore in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, hear that again? We were powerless, Romans 5. The law was powerless, Romans 8. Because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. There is only one answer in this world. There's only one answer to all of our sin and all of our selfishness. And his name is Jesus. He came in our place. He died instead of us, and he rose again so that sin and death are defeated, so that we can have forgiveness and live with no condemnation. What a privilege. And he goes on to say this in verse 14 of chapter 8. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. This is the most incredible thing. And yet, if we're not careful, we lose sight of who we are. What God has made possible is for us to become his children, to know him, to be led by him. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, it says. Who or what are you being led by? We have this most amazing privilege to be adopted into his family. And now, as our Father, he wants to give us his Spirit to lead us into all truth, to lead us to be the people that he's always intended us to be. But you know what? We don't do that just by turning up and sitting in a chair on a Sunday. That's not what it means to be his children. It's an ongoing, living relationship with him. It's an openness to the life and leading of the Spirit. And if we're not careful, we put other things in the place of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, didn't he? Don't get drunk on wine, as some are in the habit of doing. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He's given us his Spirit. Many of us can far too easily go back to living by the flesh and not by the Spirit, to relying on ourselves rather than relying on him. And what does that mean? Well, if you think about this verse about for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, it suggests we're living as orphans. It's never how he intended us to live. And we'll never have the life and the impact he wants us to if we live like that. I said earlier on that I was at this conference in Kenya and that I felt like I encountered the Lord afresh and God spoke to me. And it involved repentance on my part. And I guess it was around a number of things. And it was maybe partly because I was already beginning to pray over this series and think about it. And before you speak, what happens, God always speaks to you before anything else. And a couple of things happened. I began to sense him highlighting to me things that were taking a wrong place in my life and were quenching the life of the Spirit. And for me, that was things like self-reliance, pride, and related to that image, how I look, wanting to look all right, not necessarily wanting to step right out of the boat and put myself right out there and just respond to whatever the Spirit might say to me. Comfort. And I had to repent of some of those things and lay them down. And in the midst of me going through that process, someone had a picture. And they shared this prophetic picture. And they said that they were in the conference center we were in Kenya. They'd seen lots of these amazing fireplaces. And yet, it's pretty warm in Kenya. And not many of the fires were really burning. And this person said she felt like God wanted to speak to a number of us as church leaders. That we were leading churches that had huge, great hearths and fireplaces and space for a roaring fire. And yet many of them were just flickering. And as she shared that word, I immediately felt very challenged and felt like, do you know what? I don't know who else that's for, but I think it's for me. Because I love this church family. I count it an immense privilege to be able to lead this church and a very big responsibility as well. And I guess I felt I needed to repent that I was leading a church that was not burning with all its passion and brightness that it could do. And I did. I didn't know how. I was just like, God had nailed me. I was going to go and make whatever response I needed to make and just deal with it. And I come back this morning, and I count it a real privilege, a first Sunday back. And I just want to say to you as a church family, because it is a leadership responsibility, I'm sorry for settling for something that's not burning as brightly as it could do. I want us to be a church who don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk, who genuinely are led by the Spirit of God, who genuinely don't live as orphans, but as his sons and daughters. And where I've allowed other things on a personal level or in the way that I've led to somehow quench the spirit and the fire that God wants there to be in us, then I'm sorry. And there's a personal responsibility that I need to take. And yet, of course, we are together as a church family. And I guess this morning I believe the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us and stir something in many of us to say we want more of that fire. We don't just want a flickering little something that just vaguely reflects. We want something that's absolutely roaring. And Paul goes on to say, you see, all this is, it's not just for ourselves, because this affects the impact that we make. It affects us really being the people that God expects us to be, reflecting his image, bringing his glory, bringing his hope and love to this world. Because this is what he says in 2 Corinthians 5, for Christ's love compels us. Actually, can I say one thing just before I go on? I trust we understand that God has no grandchildren. Right? It is possible to be here because someone else is here, or because, you know, your parents are here, or a friend, or in the end, it's not about your friend or your parents. God wants a living, real relationship with you personally, where you're led by the Spirit, not just led by someone else who says, this is what we do now, this is what we do now. But we are invited into this personal, living relationship with him as our Father, where we can cry from our own hearts, Abba, Father, where we can know his love, where we can be led by him and be responsive to him. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. When you understand what God has done by sending his Son to die for us, and you understand that amazing love, it changes everything. It causes something to rise up to say, I no longer want to live for myself, but for him who died for me. I don't want the big I to rule. I want Jesus to rule in my life. He goes on to say, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. How are we seeing one another? From a worldly point of view? Or are you in awe? The grace and the goodness of God, the image of God being reflected through other people. Don't know how many of you got the update that Elizabeth wrote. Is Elizabeth here today? Yes, there's Elizabeth. Elizabeth, I hope you don't mind, but since you sent an update publicly, I thought you wouldn't mind me quoting a sentence of your update. This is what Elizabeth wrote. She said, but I find mercy with God, because even as a child growing up, as with all children, there has always been something special and divine about me, which unfortunately my parents didn't see and couldn't nurture. In other words, what she's saying is, yeah, my parents looked from a worldly point of view, but you know what? We're able to see one another differently. And Elizabeth is able to see herself differently, not through a worldly point of view, but through Christ, and therefore to see that divine nature, that beauty, that sense of God's workmanship and purpose. And Paul goes on to say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new has come. We don't have to be defined by our past. No one here has to be defined by what's gone on in the past. There is forgiveness. There is grace. There's newness. You don't have to sit here and think, that's all very well for others. They can be led like that, and they can know the love of the Father, and they can experience that. This is for everyone. No matter what's gone on in your life, there's forgiveness and grace and a new start. You can live as a new creation. And you can live, as he goes on to say in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, as Christ's ambassadors. He says, you are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through you. We're here to represent him with his authority and with that sense of responsibility for our world. That same mandate that was given to Adam and Eve is now given to us to take responsibility for the world, to live as his ambassadors, to reflect him. As Peter put it, you are a chosen people, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Therefore, can I encourage you? Can I encourage myself? Let's not give other things a wrong place in our life. Do you know what happens when we do that? They deaden our spirit to the things of God and the life of the Spirit. Actually, till eventually, if you keep going on that downward cycle and you keep giving other things the wrong place, eventually you lose sight of who God is completely. In fact, I've watched people who even begin to lose sight of the fact that God is alive because you've allowed other things to take the place. But you know what? Today, that can change. You might feel like you're on a slippery slope. I can't do anything. I'm just sliding. I'm in all this mess. It's a downward spiral. But God in his love sends his son in our powerlessness that we can reach out and say, help me, save me. I put my trust in you again. And while we can't get ourselves out of the pit, he lifts us out. I'm going to ask Phil and the musicians if they'd like to come back up as I just come into land. And I love the story of the prodigal son. The son who, as it were, had everything, was living in all the good that his father had, and yet that wasn't enough for him. He said, no, I want more. I want my inheritance now. I don't want to do things your way. I want to do things my way. He makes his own choices, and he ends up making his own mess. And yet, praise God, he reaches a point where, as the Bible puts it, says he came to his senses. What am I doing? Making my own mess, living my own way. Ah, I best to go back to my father. And his father is waiting there with arms open wide. Though he doesn't deserve to still be his son, he's received as a son and welcomed into the father's home afresh. And I believe that for many of us, the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak and is, as it were, wanting to just challenge different things this morning and to bring us to our senses. And it may be just something's got out of place. It may be that we've never, ever given our lives to Christ. It may be that we've never, ever put him first in our lives. It may be that we have, but we've gone completely adrift. It may be small things. It may be big things. What I know is in his love, he speaks to us. And I pray that for many of us, there'd be a sense of coming to our senses. Through the cross, all our sin and our selfishness gets dealt with. As it were, the big I can be crossed out so that I no longer need to live and rule and reign. When I was talking with kids, I used to talk about the me monster that lives inside of us all. But you know what? That me monster is less powerful and less strong than Jesus, who died and rose again. And when you welcome Jesus into your life, the me monster can be killed. And the Spirit of God can rise up and rule and reign in our lives and lead us as he wants to. Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. You are the image of God. You're made in the image of God. We are called to reflect his image and glory and love to the world around us. Let's be who he wants us to be. I wonder if you're able, if you'd like to stand with me. We're going to sing. And after we've sung this song, I'm going to come back up. And I'm going to invite people that know the Holy Spirit has spoken to them, whether it's about something small or something big, to make their response to the Lord this morning. And everything in me wanted to make this as easy as possible for people. But the Holy Spirit asked me not to do that, I believe. And so I'm going to invite people to come forward in a little bit. And the reason I'm going to do that is because being led by the Spirit and choosing to be led by the Spirit and living as his sons, as his daughters, as his children involves saying no to pride and peer pressure and anything else. It involves saying yes to him. And some of us, there's just an adjustment going on by the Spirit. And some of us, we know we're right down in a pit and it's a slippery slope and we're utterly helpless. But God, in his love, this morning speaks to us. And if you can hear him, be grateful. Be grateful. Let's sing. And I'll come and make an appeal shortly. And but bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes. I will not say this or you can say this, but I just got a bit of a challenge. Like, what are we going to do about it? Like, if we're one of those fireplaces that's not burning, actually.
One of those
if
what?
If we're one of those fireplaces that's not burning.
Got any thoughts about what it means for you? And there may be, there's obviously more to then process on. I mean, would you like to say something? It's hard for me to reflect. For you, but maybe we'll go back up together. Is that right?
Yeah,
you what?
I'll come over here.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Oh.